Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by Randy Andy Datsun.
Hi Pete, my toe hurts.
Oh my god, is that what you're going to lead with? How you doing, mate, apart from your toe?
Oh, I can't really concentrate on anything else, to be honest. I mean, I might be emotionally stable, I might be physically stable, but my toe is so painful. I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm fine. Bit tired today, actually, but hey, other than that, I'm all right.
It's very hot here. And
it is stupid
hot. Unair-conditioned flat with nothing but a slightly loud fan next to my bed. It wasn't the best sleep I've ever had.
Yeah, that's a big mood right there. I'm sure we're going to get into more stuff. We've actually, what we said we were going to talk about last week, which we totally forgot about, was talking about the D&D one shot that I did for you and your lady partner and my lady partner and a friend of mine, which we'll talk about in the outro. And we've also got a few Snacklash emails. Woo! Epic. But first, we do need to actually talk about SmackDown itself. So we're going to be starting off talking about that disturbing end segment where The Fiend attacked Alexa Bliss. Good God, here's the show. And yeah, first things first, we're going to talk about today on this SmackDown review is The Fiend attacked Alexa Bliss at the very end of this show. What? I did not see that one coming at all. We'll start things off with there was a Firefly Funhouse promo at the very start of the show, right after everyone did their normal, you know, here's my little promo at the start of the show. Went straight into a Firefly Funhouse with Bray coming in with bits of swamp stuff all over him, just being like, oh, sorry, was looking for Braun. He's still out there somewhere.
What are you doing in my swamp?
Yeah
that very one. Shrek.
Yeah. And then he was basically saying that it's unfortunate that The Fiend really wants the Universal Championship, and it's a shame for everybody in the locker room because no one is safe until he gets it. And normally when someone says, oh, you know, the whole locker room isn't safe, I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. It means like one person's going to get targeted and that's the feud. Sure, whatever. So I didn't really pay too much attention to it. But really, it really brilliantly foreshadowed what was going to come later on. I thought it was very, very smart to do it that way.
Very, very smart. I know, do you know what? Before I say anything else, I really enjoyed this segment. I really enjoyed most of the segments tonight. I really enjoyed the Alexa segment later. What I do like is the idea in this world of kind of kayfabe where The Fiend is a supernatural character who was born into this world, the one thing he wants is a wrestling belt. I almost would prefer if he never went for a title. He was just killing people. Because that would kind of make it more of a he's just out of control rather than he's a guy who's so out of control that he wants to turn up on a Sunday night to challenge for a championship.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but no, other than that, I really do like what's happening. And I like the fact that things that are being said are being paid off on, because that's not something you often get in WWE. And it was just a great way to start the show. And actually, shocker, this show was pretty good.
Yes, it was. It ended pretty much the way it started as well, with The Fiend, because in the main event, which we'll talk about later, it was Bayley versus Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Nikki came up short. We'll talk about that more later. But she was...
No short jokes, Pete.
But she was very upset afterwards, kind of furthering that whole obsession with the title thing that she's got going on. She pushed Alexa to the ground and just stormed out of the thing because she was so mad about losing the title. Walked out to the back. And as Alexa's sitting there alone in the ring, the lights begin to cut out. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, that's not The Fiend, is it? And then, yeah, the Fiend appears, red lights and all, behind Alexa. This got really creepy, really, really fast. In a good way, I think.
Yeah. Watching this, I was like, run, Alexa. Alexa, run. Alexa, you've seen this. You know what this is. Run, Alexa, run. Alexa, he's next to you, Alexa. Alexa, run. Get out of there. And while she should have just got out of there, her acting was brilliant in this segment. She was kind of... It was, and as a cynical old man as I am now, I do often find it quite difficult to get emotionally invested or kind of like emotionally react to wrestling as much as I used to. But this, I was like, oh, this is creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really quite disturbing. And I don't know whether it's because it's the first time he's attacked a female roster member.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something more visceral about it, something more disturbing, more physically kind of, abusive in a kind of way.
Yeah, I get you.
The whole kind of slowly moving his hand towards her mouth.
Like, yeah.
And the fact that she had just almost accepted what was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of look of just... this is going to happen, and this is going to, and it just, it really kind of resonated with me, like in a way that a wrestling segment hasn't done in a very long time. I was saying to you beforehand, it was almost like she saw Bray as like a T-Rex, and she was trying not to move in the hope that he was going to, I'm pretty sure Alexa's here somewhere, I can't see her moving.
Yeah, I think the creepiness... Yeah, it was. I think the creepiness really just built up through like the tension and how long it took, because he came up, he knelt next to her, and she was kind of just looking at him, and she was very softly just kind of mouthing like, no, 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 like the whole time. And he, like you said, very, very slowly just brought his hand up. And then eventually, after ages and ages of just very slowly moving his hand, just locks in the mandible claw on Alexa.
Yeah.
And she's choking, the crowd, the fake crowd are booing. We'll get onto that later. And we just hear him laughing, and the lights just go off, and that's the end of the show. And I was like, wait, what? It was awesome. Because I thought originally when The Fiend was coming out for Alexa, because obviously we saw Alexa in the swamp fight being Sister Abigail and kind of taunting Braun. So I was like, well, maybe it's some sort of master plan Fiend, she's going to be revealed as Sister Abigail kind of thing. But no, he just attacked her. And I was like, oh, so they're not on the same page. What's the beef with Alexa then? I don't know, and I want to find out. So now I'm really invested in this story, and I want to find out where it goes. I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah, so there are a couple of theories. Either it's just him attacking Alexa, and he is kind of going to keep her hostage. Then Braun's got that mixed match challenge link with Alexa and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's going to be Sister Abigail, or Nikki Cross is Sister Abigail, which I think is more interesting, because she, to me, is someone who has a character which is much more sort of entwined with what I can see as Sister Abigail being, like the kind of madness, someone going crazy, kind of accepting the dark side. Darth Nikki Cross. And I can see them sort of riffing off this with Alexa for a bit. If they're going to do a Sister Abigail character, I do think Licky's better because she's kind of slow descending into madness with her obsession with the title. Like the Fiend is obsessed with the Universal title, she's obsessed with the SmackDown Women's title. Both titles are blue. I mean, the links here are endless. But yeah, I just thought this was just really good. Do you know what? One nitpick, they don't have to play the violin throughout the entire thing because that does get a bit annoying. And it's just,
that's the Fiend's thing, man.
And it's just, yeah, we get
that's
it.
That's an amazing impression.
You can do it a couple of times, but then just keep the lights off. I actually think that's more creepy if you don't just keep doing that noise because then that's just because then you want to concentrate on what's happening rather than the fact that a really horrible noise is happening.
That is, in fact, a nitpick. Congratulations, yes. I thought this was a fantastic segment, and it wasn't the only shocking thing on the night either. And no. This at the end of the show, just to kind of cap off all the other shocks that had happened on the show, I was like, man, that's a fantastic way to end a show, because now I'm just like, wait, what was that? Why did he and that at the end, that kind of cliffhanger is now making me want to see next week's show already. And like you said, I don't know whether it's going to be kind of like an abduction thing, whether he's going to take Alexa and kind of like Braun has to save her for the title or whatever, or it's going to be more of a, this is just the Fiend attacking people who are vulnerable because
or
he can.
Who have a link to Braun.
Exactly, yes.
Like he'll attack Nicholas next week.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing. Like in
that
a kind
would
of
be genuinely hilarious.
I was going to say something, Pete.
That's generally what you do on podcast.
Oh yeah. The Fiend's going to come out next week and go, hey, you might wonder why I wear these gloves. Well, when I was younger, I got frostbite on my hand. And so now I need to wear these. But otherwise,
imagine.
It really hurts.
That would be hilarious. Yes.
I'm sure it'll be paid off well next week.
Yes. And considering the run that SmackDown's on, I think, you know, since karaoke, they've had a pretty good show.
Hey,
they've actually been following through. And they've been following through on a lot of stories lately, so hopefully they continue that run.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Rolls Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Rolls Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
But let's talk about the rest of the show now. As mentioned before, the show started off with the little promos from everyone starting off the show. I still really like it, even if the promos aren't top tier. It just, like, it's basically like coming up on the show, and it just has a little preview of everything that's going to happen. You get reminded, it's like, oh yeah, it's Bayley versus Nikki Cross today. That's cool. Oh yeah, it's AJ Styles versus Gran Metalik, and Gran Metalik cut a promo in Spanish. I was like, cool. Gives him a bit of character instead of just going lucha all the time.
Bueno.
Yeah, and then you had Big E cutting a promo in Miz and Morrison. I was like, oh, so it's going to be Big E versus Miz. Cool, that's good to know. Lacey Evans and Naomi got promos. I was like, cool, I'm here. I understand what the show is going to be. I'm in on the stories. Let's do it. And then it went straight into the Firefly Funhouse that we mentioned before. And after that, it went straight into the Intercontinental Championship match between AJ Styles and Gran Metalik, which I thought was a good match. It wasn't spectacular or anything, but I thought it was very good. The only thing I will say, if I am going to nitpick, I would have liked to have seen more of Metalik's offense, because AJ was quite comfortably in control for the majority of this match. Metalik got a few hope spots in, a couple of drop kicks here and there, a couple of Hurricane Ranas, and that was about it. And for the kind of offense that Metalik has, very kind of high-flying, high-octane, he can run across the ropes, do all sorts of flips and stuff. We didn't really see too much of that at all. So I'm not super as invested. If I was, you know, a casual viewer, obviously I know how great Metalik is. But for someone who's not seen him in the Cruiserweight Classic, I'm not going to be too convinced that he's amazing or anything like that.
I don't mind this because I can't see Metalik being a long-term challenger. I think it's just a way to get over AJ. I can't see them having another match. I don't really want to need to see another match after this. Nah. I just think you don't want everyone to be really competitive with AJ. Like we've had Gulak and we've had Riddle. Obviously, should be competitive. Gulak should be competitive. I'm not so sure about Metalik because he's had no one expected him to win last week. No one expected him to win this week. He didn't. I think it was the right booking. And it looks like the Lucha House Party will be going for the tag titles instead.
But that's why I think you should have built up Metalik more in this match, not to compete with AJ, but to be put forth as a legitimate competitor so that when Lucha House Party transitioned to the tag titles, you're like, oh, it's that guy that almost beat AJ Styles. Cool. I'm in on this. Whereas now you're just like, well, he kind of got dominated a little bit. Why do I care about his tag title shot kind of thing? But I think that is a nitpick. It was a good match, and it was quite a cool finish. And AJ was working over Metalik's knee for the majority of the match. He chop-blocked him out of midair, which I thought was a great spot. Yep. Locked in the calf crusher and got Metalik to tap, which was great. And just to assert dominance, hit a Styles Clash on Lince Dorado because he can. Which was great. Dominant Intercontinental Champion AJ Styles. Big fan. Rebuilding him after the Taker loss. Love it. Yeah, I thought that was really good. And then Shorty G was watching the end of that match backstage on a TV at a normal angle, the madman.
It's a pretty mad night for him in general, so I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Spoilers, God. And then King Corbin came in, and I got Vietnam flashbacks straight away. I was like, no, I don't want to see these two in the same room. Please don't give me this again. Thank God they didn't. Well, they kind of did, but we'll get to it. King Corbin was chatting to Shorty G, and he's being ultra friendly. And he's just like, hey, man, I know you've just been, you need more opportunities. You're really great, blah, blah, blah. And Gable's like, you called me short a lot. What? Why are you being like this? And he's like, hey, man, I'm just looking out for you. By the way, King's Ransom's still on. Just a little reminder. Just gonna float the idea out there. You know, King's Ransom's still on. Cool. See you later, man. And Gable was like, huh? So very manipulative and not very subtle of Corbin. Very scared of Matt Riddle, seemingly. And I thought that was going to be that for that. It wasn't, because after that, we got a recap of the bar fight. I was a big fan of the fact that the recap of the bar fight was basically the whole match, just with the boring bits cut out.
Yes.
It was just all the spots. And then for some reason, Jeff Hardy's walking backstage and everyone's giving him a massive ovation. Like, referees are there, heavy machinery come in and just start hugging Hardy and lifting him up. I'm like, he won a match, guys. Right,
you must really hate Sheamus.
Yeah, Jesus. Like, poof. But then Hardy comes out and cuts a promo saying that I've overcome my demons. Beating Sheamus reminds him on the right path. And then I think the only thing that made that segment worse was then it was interrupted by King Corbin. And I was like, good God, I've already seen him once tonight. I don't want him feuding with everyone, please. Because at this point, I still thought he was feuding with Gable as well. So I was like, please don't do this as well. But then, yeah, he gets interrupted by Corbin, who complains about the fact that Hardy has overcome his addiction. Because I guess the heels in WWE are actually evil people rather than like people who use underhanded tactics to win wrestling.
No, they're
genuinely terrible people, irredeemably so. But you know, whatever. I've written a note here. I was like, look, I'm all for multiple feuds at once, just not everyone feuding with Corbin. Gulak then comes out. He's heard enough from Corbin, starts attacking him because they have a scheduled match next, Gulak versus Corbin. The match itself was fine. Nothing too special. It was a Corbin match. I put Gulak versus Corbin. It's a shame that Corbin's going to win. And he did. Towards the end stages. Matt Riddle came out on the stage to try and distract Corbin. But it wasn't enough. Gulak rolled up Corbin. Corbin kicked out and then hit the end of days immediately onto Gulak and then picked up the win. We'll get into what happens after that, the fallout of that shortly. But first, we're going to take a little detour to the SmackDown highlight of the week, everybody, because this was indicative of the whole show, but really apparent in this match, in that the crowd noises this week were so intrusive, so overdone, and so in your face through the whole thing. Listen to the reaction when Baron Corbin hits the end of days on Drew Gulak. No one has ever reacted like this.
Corbin almost paid for the distraction, but he follows it up. And here's the...
No!
God, it was like that through the whole show. Anytime a heel did anything, the crowd just... Oh, shut up. It was so bad. That's our highlight of the week, everyone. We like fun here. Anyway,
are you nuts?
That's still my favorite.
Yeah.
After that, Matt Riddle rushed down to the ring, started wailing on Corbin, started beating him up a little bit. And just as he looked like he's going to hit like a second final flash onto him, out of nowhere comes Shorty G and hits a Chaos Theory German suplex on Riddle. And he's turning heel.
A really good one as well.
A really good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was not expecting this. I don't think anyone was expecting this.
Not at all.
It's cool to see him having a character which isn't "you're short."
Yeah.
Maybe you need to turn heel, Pete. It was just a really surprising, good piece of booking, I think. I'm intrigued to see where they go with this next, whether it's just going to be sort of Baron Corbin just manipulating Shorty G every week, whether this is actually going to be a tag team. I'm really interested. And it's like Gable, like, and the fact people are like, oh, well, you know, he's just trying to get himself over. But like, the whole thing is that the King's Ransom, he's doing this for money, and that's a really heel move. It's not like he's doing it to try and like, oh no, I want to prove myself. He's going, oh yeah, money. I like that. So yeah, just really surprising. And Chad Gable What a wrestler. And
oh, he's so good.
Please, please do more of this.
Yeah. And like the thing is, yeah, Gable made it very clear that this was about the money. As he was walking off, you know, he's doing the hand signals to Corbin to make sure he gets paid, kind of thing. So, no, it's very much about the money. This isn't about Corbin. But yeah, this could very much evolve into a unlikely friendship, tag team. This could just be Corbin manipulating him for a couple of weeks. And then Gable's like, where's my money, man? Yeah. I'm just really glad that hopefully we're going to be seeing Shorty G on our screens a bit more. Whether it's face, whether it's heel, whatever, he deserves to be on our screens because he's bloody brilliant. So this makes me very happy. And he has a character, which is good. He's motivated by money. Cool. That's something. That's the first foundation block. Give us more now, rather than short man who isn't even that short. After that, we got Big E versus The Miz. After Big E had been giving the blessing from the rest of the New Day to go after singles glory, and he took on The Miz to start with. I thought this isn't the best like technical in-ring masterpiece, but I thought the story that they told through the match was really, really good, which was basically don't get on Big E's bad side because he will mess you up. And Miz and Morrison are really good working together until they're not. Which I thought both of them kind of came together really, really well in that, you know, Big E was jiving around, having a good time, slapping Miz on his butt or whatever. And then Morrison got involved, took advantage, and then Miz slapped Big E and Big E kind of snapped. And he was like, I'm just going to mess you up now. Throwing him into the barricades and into the ring posts and all sorts of stuff like that. I thought was really good. And then Morrison continually got involved in the match time and time again towards the end until they did it one too many times. Morrison went to go kick Big E and the referee stopped him, saw him and stopped him and said, "What you doing?" Morrison's like, "Oh, nothing. I'm just on the apron." But then he got ejected from ringside. Big E locked in the stretch muffler, which is a cool addition to his arsenal. I could really see that hurting from a guy like Big E. Cool, like it. And Miz tapped. Oh, that was great. Yeah. Really good start.
Absolutely. The only thing is that this does sort of show how limited almost the SmackDown mid-card has become, because it's not like we haven't seen Big E versus Miz before. And next week, we're probably going to see Big E versus Morrison. And the week after, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Big E against Cesaro. It's just kind of like you sort of know who they're going to face. So it'd be really, I'm interested to see where he goes next. I think this is probably going to end in an Intercontinental Championship match at SummerSlam. I don't know. SummerSlam's what? It's the 23rd, isn't it? So we've got three more weeks of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had 1 week where Kofi said he was off. So this is week two, 3 weeks. So SummerSlam is right in that. And then there's Payback the week after some reason.
Payback on the 30th.
So maybe Big E loses at SummerSlam and wins at Payback. Who knows what happens? Yeah, the SummerSlam does sort of fit in with this storyline. It'd be better if Kofi had gone, I'm going to be out for 31 days. 31 days? That's SummerSlam. But I'm really interested to see where this goes next. You heard it here first. It's going to be Big E against John Morrison next week, everyone.
Almost certainly. I think he's got his first win. He's got 5 more weeks of Kofi being off, or 4 more weeks, however the math works out. So I'm hoping that, he can get one more win, probably against Morrison, hopefully, and then just start getting involved in the Intercontinental Championship picture. Not like necessarily a straight title shot with AJ straight away, but just kind of gets himself involved in the picture. And then after that, he can have a shot later.
Here's a title match that I want. AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle versus Big E in a triple threat.
That's spicy. That's spicy. Add in Daniel Bryan. Why not? Fatal 4-way.
Just turn up.
Yeah.
Daniel, fancy a match.
Yeah, go for it. After that, we saw Cesaro and Nakamura backstage. This was a weird segment. Cesaro and Nakamura were backstage, kind of just saying, "We're the best. We don't have anyone to feud with. Help." Lucha House Party came in and they said nothing. They came in and Cesaro and Nakamura were like, "You like to party?" And then they just went, "Lucha, Lucha, Lucha." And then he went, "No." And then he got a party blower and blew it. And then they walked off. What?
best segment of the night for me.
I was very confused by the whole thing. Well, Pete, they seem to get legitimately scared by the party blower. Which I'm very confused.
Pete, they like to have fun. They don't like to be scared.
That's true. They do like to have fun. Mm. Yeah, it was a very strange segment, but I am glad that at least Cesaro and Nakamura have some challenges. And it's Metalik, who we just saw going for the IC title, so it's like not bad. They're not bad challenges. It's,
But then they'll lose, and then it'll be...
And then it'll be
the Usos, and like the SmackDown Tag Team Division, while it's great, while it's really good, is very small.
Hey man, Heavy Machinery were back on this show. That's another tag team. Yeah, you go. It's going to be Lucha House Party, then it's going to be Heavy Machinery, because it seems like Heavy Machinery from a segment later on entering a feud with Miz and Morrison, and then after they've done that, they can just swap seats. So then they're going to have Lucha House Party versus Miz and Morrison, and then you're going to have Heavy Machinery versus Cesaro and Nakamura. It makes perfect sense, okay?
Yes.
Don't judge me. Okay. After that, we had a Sheamus promo backstage, and he says exactly what you'd expect Sheamus to say. Oh, I was on his home turf. It was basically a handicap match against Hardy. I should be applauded.
I think we predicted this last week. This is this exactly
probably what yes. Say. Yeah, and he was saying I should be applauded for making it as close as it was. Blah 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 blah. But luckily, he then said Hardy's not my problem anymore. I'll let alcohol take its course. He's going to self-destruct at some point, which means that's bad news for the rest of the SmackDown locker room. And I was like, cool, be cool, Sheamus again. Go and just beat people up. Stop trying to make people succumb to their addictions again. That would be great. Because I do really like Sheamus, and I think he's in fantastic shape. I think he's got a lot to offer. Just hope he does a proper feud now. That would be nice.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe he'll go and make fun of Lucha House Party for being addicted to fun. Daniel Bryan being addicted to vegetables, I don't know.
He'll go and face Big E now, and it'll be pancakes. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. After that, though, we then got the highly anticipated Lacey Evans versus Naomi match, which was okay. The right person won. Naomi won, which I think is the right call. Lacey Evans actually looked really good in the opening stages of this match. She was very kind of aggressive and
That's why she looks good. She just doesn't... I don't give her a chance to look good.
Yeah, I guess so. She looked really good. She was very aggressive, throwing Naomi into the post. She trapped her hair between the ring steps, which I thought was quite cool. And then Naomi tries to do a sunset flip powerbomb to the outside, kind of doing like a Rey Mysterio style, sliding through the bottom rope into a sunset flip powerbomb, except they kind of botched it a little bit. Naomi kind of came down, and I think it was Lacey's fault. I'm not sure, where Naomi kind of did the rotation and Lacey Evans just kind of fell to the side rather than going over and doing the thing, but it still looked fine. And they got back in the ring and Naomi rolled up Lacey for the win. So it's the right person won. I think they won in the wrong way, personally.
It was just kind of like it didn't really get anyone over, because it was like, well, Lacey's clearly the better wrestler in this match. Oh wait, Naomi won.
Yes. Okay, that's so exactly it.
That was lucky of her. That doesn't make her look good. That doesn't make her look like a threat. That makes her look like someone who was just a bit lucky.
Exactly.
Not bringing Hany Brook a baby face. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
At least she won.
Tell you what was so much better, though. Oh, my good God. I love this next bit. Otis and Mandy were backstage. Mandy said, here's the plans for tonight. They got really sexual really quickly. And she's like, here's all the things we're going to do tonight. I'm going to go and get myself ready. Let's meet back here.
Wouldn't you, if you were talking to Otis, get really sexual very quickly?
That's true, yeah. Mandy says, I'm going to go get ready. You go sort yourself out. We'll meet back here. And as they both separate to go and do their things, behind them is Sonya Deville. And I was like,
did she come from?
I was like, yes, please, Sonya. And then it cuts to an ad break, comes back, and you just see Mandy in the mirror playing lip gloss or whatever she's doing. And then Sonya comes in and just beats the ever-loving piss out of her. It was so, so good. I love Sonya Deville so much. Just beat her down. She's putting makeup all over her face. She grabbed some scissors and started cutting Mandy's hair off. I was like, oh my God, that was a legit like shock moment for me. She grabbed the scissors and started cutting. I was like, oh, that's her hair, Sonya. You can't do that.
No, you're buying into WWE. Like they think cutting a lady's hair off is like cutting her arm off.
In fairness, I probably would have reacted the same way whether it was a girl or a man. Like,
I was going to say if it was her arm.
Oh, yeah, oh, true. Yeah, I probably would have reacted the same.
See,
yeah.
When I woke up this morning, I saw the picture of her attacking. I was like, oh my God, Mandy's face is covered in blood.
No, it was makeup.
It was makeup, yeah.
Yeah. That is, by the way, 2 weeks in a row that they've substituted makeup for blood. When they did it with Lacey Evans when she got her lip gloss smeared all over her face. And now this week it was Sonya putting it on as well. I think they're doing that on purpose so they can get like clickable thumbnails of like, look at all this blood. And then it's not blood. But I think it's smart. I like it. She cut some of her hair off, a good few chunks of hair, grabs a razor, looks like she's going to go shave her head before she gets stopped by referees and producers and stuff. And she just drops the razor and walks off. I thought this was amazing. I love Sonya Deville. My only concern is I get the feeling this is probably going to build to a hair versus hair match between them, which I think Mandy's going to win, which I don't want her to win because I don't think she should, because I think Sonya Deville is the star out of the two and I think she should be protected at all costs.
Yes. Although, as you said in your review, Sonya would look better with shorter hair.
That's true.
Out of the two, if one of them had to cut their hair, I mean, it's like when we cut our hair. I mean, neither of us looked good, but...
Hey, man. I always look good with shaved hair.
No, but the thing is, because you shaved your eyebrows, I think you look stupider than I did. If you hadn't cut your eyebrows off, I would have looked stupider. But because you cut your eyebrows off, you look stupider.
Right, but the point is about shaved hair. And you look stupider with shaved hair than
I do. It was a mix of eyebrows and shaved head.
Anyway, she's probably not going to shave her eyebrows off. But yes, I think Sonya Deville could rock a buzz cut and maybe could look even more intimidating with that. So it might be like a good change for her. But the only problem is she'd have to lose a match against Mandy first, which I don't want her to do. But regardless, bloody love this segment. Thought it was great. Yes. Love Sonya Deville so much. I think she's an absolute star in the making. Just push her all the way to the moon, please. Yes. Oh, yeah. Also, Otis didn't have his Money in the Bank briefcase. What you doing, Otis? Yes. You're the Money in the Bank. You never know when you might need it. I don't know. That was annoying to me. After that as well, there was a brief backstage bit. It was so weird. They cut away from the segment of Mandy getting tended to by the producers and the referees. They cut back to the commentary who said, wow, that was crazy. We've got an update from Caleb Braxton. Cut straight back to where they were, where Caleb Braxton is now there going, yeah, it looks like Mandy's been beaten up real bad. It's like, we just saw it. We know that. But this was all set up. So Heavy Machinery came in to look after Mandy. Miz and Morrison came in and started making jokes at Mandy's expense, various hair puns. And then Tucker comes over and goes, hey, that isn't funny. Get out of here. So it looks like it's going to be a Miz and Morrison Heavy Machinery feud, probably. Or at least a match, at the very least, next week. Which is fine. I'm okay with that. As it gets Heavy Machinery back in the ring. I've missed them and their in-ring antics. I want to see them again.
Hey,
so.
Don't folly call her names.
I don't think that was it.
I mean, it's the one I made up and it was much better than everything else. And then we had the main event.
Nikki Cross versus Bayley. This match was pretty short, but I thought it was fun for what it was. I thought there was a really cool spot where Bayley goes to the outside and Sasha sneakily tries to hand her one of the boss knuckle duster jewelry thing, whatever it is that she's got. That I reckon is made of plastic and is really light and doesn't hurt at all, but they're treating it like brass knuckles kind of knuckle duster type deal. Bayley tries to use it, but then Nikki catches her with a neck breaker, spots the thing she's got on and just chucks it at Sasha, which I thought was great. Sasha on the outside screaming, how dare you? And then later on in the match, Sasha tries to get involved. Alexa equalizes, which I thought was good. tons and tons of roll-ups back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until they roll right into Bailey's weird face-busted knee driver thingy.
Yes. I for the win. Don't like Bailey. I don't like... Bailey, just come up with a good finisher. The Bailey belly sucked. The elbow, whatever. It's an elbow. But this... If your finisher is a move that always looks like a botched version of another move, it's probably not a good move. Every time she does it, I'm like,
not great.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, she sort of puts the head next to the knee, and then they just kind of fall over forward.
And then, I think the premise, what it's supposed to be, is like a face buster. So you just kind of drive the face into the floor, I think. But there's a weird... bit to make it look different, where she has to put the knee up first, and then kind of wind up for it.
But because the knee, it makes it look like what the move is I'm gonna rub your face on my knee.
And then she just misses the knee every time and just hits on the floor instead. It looks a bit dumb, but whatever. She hits the thing and she gets the win. Sasha and Bayley retain. Nikki is really upset by this. Which I thought she played fantastically. She was so like distraught. She was just like completely like inconsolable. Alexa came over and was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry." And she like hit her hand away, just like, "No, get off me," kind of thing. Until eventually, she kind of got up and Alexa was like, "Hey, it's okay." And Nikki was like, "No, it's not," and pushed her over and then stormed off. And that's when the Fiend came out.
In 2 weeks, she's pushed her over and I can't see the relationship recovering from this. Like Alexa can come out. If Alexa's around next week, she can come out and say, "Look, you left me to be attacked by the Fiend.
Where were you when the Fiend came out?
Like, you were probably 2 meters backstage when that music came on. You could have turned around."
And the thing is as well, both of them have a point. If Nikki is like, "Dude, this is my whole thing about winning the championship. Yeah. You know how upset I was. Like, I wasn't even thinking about anything else." And Alexa was like, "Yeah, but I was being assaulted by the Fiend. I needed you there. You're my tag partner." Both of them are right. And that's amazing. That's such good storytelling when both of them have a point, because then people naturally will gravitate to one side and then you have legitimate like conflict with people. It's great. I love it. I'm really invested in a lot of things that happened on this show. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was great. The only thing it lacked was, I think it needed a bit more of it had a really good killer angle at the end, which is normally the criteria 4 or 5 out of 5 show. But I think the rest of the show was kind of average to good. And it had a really good angle at the end, which to me puts it up to like a high 4, but it not quite at the 5.
I think just one of the biggie or name matches to like really showcase one of them.
Yeah,
that would have tipped it over for me. But that was really it. Other than that, I really, it's probably the best show in several weeks. Weirdly, Pete, I genuinely had a dream that I was reading your SmackDown review in the morning, and that you had given the show a 2 out of 5. I hadn't watched the show, but it was just said, "Oh, another disappointing show, 2 out of 5." So I woke up with that in my head, and then to read your review, and then it said 4 out of 5, I was like, "Oh, okay,
it must be
a good show." And then I watched it, and I was like, "Oh, it was a good show."
All right, let's get it out of the way, Datsun. Your toe.
Oh, Pete, I'm in agony. right, first, I don't think it's broken, because...
Well, that's a good start.
While it is purple, it's hurting much less than it was. And I think, feel like if it was broken, it probably would be hurting more than it is. So I was hiding a key, as you do. You know, you kind of have a hiding place for a key outside the front of your house. If someone needs to get in, trusted humans. For example, my father. He needed a key to get into the side gate to pick up my bike, as his is broken and he's going on a bike tour with my mother. So I thought, I'm going to hide this key under the loose brick in the wall next to my front door. I want to say brick. What I mean is giant paving slab. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to film myself doing this. So that he can see where I'm putting it. So I was holding my phone in my left hand and went to pick up the paving slab with my right hand, but the paving slab was a lot heavier than I thought it was, and instead it just flopped off the wall onto my big toe. And the only thing that stopped me screaming out with lots of nice swears was the fact that I have young families either side of me in terms of neighbors, and they were in their gardens, and I didn't think they would appreciate me doing that. So yeah, I've got a nice purple big toe, which I obviously iced well. I'm a qualified first aider, so I know these things. You have to put ice on things, Pete, if you didn't know that. But yeah, so that's my world problem of the week.
So that is the story of the toe.
Yeah, I still haven't broken a bone in my life.
Technically, everyone's broken a bone because you break your little toe bone like all the time. Just no one notices.
Oh, I notice. I notice everyone's toes breaking. I'm watching.
Of course you do. Yeah,
always watching.
Yeah. But let's actually talk about the thing that I actually want to talk about. Let's talk about the D&D one shot we did a couple weeks ago now, because your lady partner wanted to get in to Dungeons and Dragons. I happen to be a dungeon master in Dungeons and Dragons. And I said, hey, I'm going to run a one shot if you want to join. And my lady partner will join, and a friend of mine that I wanted to do a one shot with anyway, he's down. So let's do it. And we finally did it. When did we do it? A couple of weeks ago? I can't remember now.
On the 19th of July.
That's good memory, that. So yeah, I know there are all two of you that are waiting with bated breath about how it went. Well, I won't say how it went because I wasn't a player. How did it go?
It was very good fun, yes. My lady partner was very happy. She'd been looking forward to it for weeks. The issue is, unfortunately, let's say 98% of D&D players are wonderful people and are really great and lovely. Unfortunately, she will go on Reddit on RPG, like horror stories from D&D. She will read those, and therefore she had convinced herself that every single person that played D&D was some kind of was a horrible man who would make his character abuse your character, or there were other stories about how, oh, look, there's one girl playing with eight men and they're all trying to hit on her at once in real life and in the game. So she was just a bit wary. So I was like, hey, look, I know a few people, Laurie, Luke and Pete, who play. So I'll ask them, have they got any tips? And Pete was kind enough to offer to help, because Pete isn't a creepy old man.
I'm only creepy one young of those man. Things.
Exactly. So, no, it was very good fun. Pete's friend was lovely. Pete's lady partner got very involved, even if her accent was terrible. I think she was trying to be Russian.
Excuse me.
It sounded more...
We're talking accents here, mate.
It sounded more Yorkshire. Hey, mine was good. It was just a silly accent.
That is correct.
So I was a Brummie from Birmingham.
That is generally where Brummies are from.
Exactly. Well, no, but Americans, not Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, Birmingham in the Midlands of England. So that was, it was very good fun. We met a troll. We met some little lizard things.
Giant. Harry Potter. It's a giant. Those are two very different things.
What else did we meet? We met a Sphinx. So basically, is Harry Potter. who had a riddle, which my lady partner figured out very well.
Instantaneously, I might add. It was very quick that she
and
solved
I
that.
I guarantee she wasn't cheating, because I was looking at the whole time because I was about to cheat. So, you know.
Did you just admit that you cheat on Quizmania?
I didn't do that.
Pretty sure that's what I just heard.
Fine, it was one time. No, I didn't. So it was just a very good afternoon. We probably played for about 4 hours, I think, in the end.
Yeah,
just under. It was very good fun. And she's very much looking forward to the next time we manage to play. And she's just bought herself a game on Steam, which is a bit like Dungeons and Dragons. I can't remember what it's called. There are a couple of them. I'm sure I'll get an email about it because someone will know what I'm talking about. It's basically like an open world RPG game where you make a character and it's like that sort of thing. And
what, Dragon Age, is it?
No, but to play it on, and because I know she doesn't listen to this, it's her birthday in October. And I saw that PC World were running an incredibly good deal until the end of July. So I had one day because payday was yesterday. So I bought her a proper gaming laptop because she only has a Mac for a MacBook Air for work, but you can play like three games on that because it's not meant for games. So I've got her a Asus Predator, which is really fancy and was still pretty expensive. So I basically go tell her, hey, this is your birthday, Christmas, and anniversary gift.
Yeah, I think that's worth it, probably.
So don't expect anything until next year. So which means because at the moment, every time she wants to play a new game, it's like not compatible for MacBook. Which is a shame because there's lots of games that she really wants to play. So I think she's going to be very happy. I may give it to her early because I'm excited and to give it to her. Yeah. And I
bet you are, mate.
I may well give that to her early because I can't keep secrets for that long.
You're terrible at that, aren't you?
Yeah. So that's what I've done this week. But Pete, what have you done this week? Or more importantly, have we got any emails? I'm more interested in them, to be honest.
Yeah, I had a day off on yesterday.
What did you do? I had to do the news. So, if you thought Ollie's news was terrible yesterday, that's because I wrote it.
I didn't watch it. But I went out yesterday. Me and my lady partner went out to buy a desk because the thing that I'm using here is like a little breakfast bar thing. It's really high and uncomfortable and terrible. So we wanted an actual desk. Because the one we had in our old place before we moved wasn't ours. It came with the place. So now that we moved, we didn't have one. So we went out to buy a desk. We didn't buy a desk. We came back with a crate of beer instead.
Mean, to be honest, if you bought like 8 crates of beer, you could make a desk.
That's true. Yeah. Not bad. Not a bad.
What beer did you get? Because obviously I like beer.
Oh, you bloody love beer, mate. You're a beer aficionado. Funnily enough, we got Corona.
Oh, genuinely, I forgot you were talking about beer. Mm-hmm. And if you'd been watching this live, actually on the screen, you would have seen my face go, what?
What?
Speaking of which, I took a Corona test on Monday and it came back negative yesterday.
Oh, that's
so good. Because I've had a slightly persistent cough all week, which happened after I think I swallowed a fly or something. I was just breathed in, I don't know, a spider or something like that. Last Saturday night, because I was coughing for a long time, I was mildly concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're negative, and that's what
all matters. Negative. Girlfriend took one as well yesterday, and she's also negative.
That's great.
So we're all negative. So how was the Corona?
Much like you are on the SmackDown reviews, you're negative.
Way.
Anyway. I've got a few Snacklash emails that I'm going to do at least one of them because I think they're worth doing because they're interesting.
People actually have a good idea now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is. Abhiram Goody Mella emails in to say, hey, Pete and Andy, James from Ohio Snacklash from last week reminded me of something that's prime Snacklash content. I'm gonna go back on the screen where I can see your face for this one, just see a reaction. Okay, here we go. I love having Gatorade pasta.
What? See, okay. Now I think I've seen this before, but carry on.
No, okay. Okay, so hear me out. You know how you boil pasta in water? Instead, I boil it in Gatorade. I've also tried Mountain Dew and chocolate syrup. Gets really messy while cooking, but it tastes fantastic. Jam that jam, and I hope none of you puked while reading this email. Blake Ham's number one fan, Abhiram Goody Mella. I mean, I've never heard of that before.
I feel like Good Mythical Morning may have done that. Gatorade.
I think it sounds a bit weird.
I typed it in and a lot of people are doing it.
People bloody love the Gatorade. People bloody love the Mountain Dew as well. Like,
yeah, it does not surprise me that there's been sugar.
Can we swap water for Mountain Dew in all possible facets of life? So someone's boiled pasta and water and they've gone, wait a second, Mountain Dew. Sounds weird to me. I can't comment on how it would taste. I'm not a huge fan of Gatorade or Mountain Dew anyway. So
I feel like I could see it working. Like, I mean, maybe pasta's not particularly flavorful.
No.
And if you can get over the fact that it's a sweet pasta dish rather than a savory pasta dish, I think it'd be all right, because it'd just be like eating like you can get rice pudding. So that's a sweet thing that you can have with rice. I had a dream I was having rice pudding last night. What a weird dream. Anyway, so I can imagine it would be okay. I mean, I'm not going to try it anytime soon. When you said it, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have heard of that.
Mm. Well, thank you for the email, Apiram. We've got another. I'll do one more today. We've got one here from Mark, who is emailed in. To say hello, Pete and Andy. For my snack clash, I'm rather fond of a tin of ravioli on toast and then sprinkling a bag of bacon rasher crisps over the top as a kind of garnish. I thought of this after hearing you talk of someone else dipping peanut butter sandwiches in his ravioli. If these were Marmite peanut butter sandwiches, then I salute you, sir. This may not fit your criteria, but I also love eating leftover dinner in sandwiches for my breakfast, my favorite being Chinese-style tofu curry. Thank you for the entertaining show every week, but if you could do away with all the talk of SmackDown and just waffle with Andy with more dats and world problems for the whole podcast, I'd be most appreciative. Thanks for the email.
I mean, I've always said that 15 minutes isn't long enough. genuinely, I might try that.
What, the ravioli on toast with bacon rashes?
But hot ravioli with some, like, bacon, like, with a crispy topping, I think would be great. I've always wanted to try like a pizza with frazzles on it or something.
But you're weird.
Yeah, with milk.
Funny you should mention that, because I'm actually going to do the other one for today, because you just mentioned exactly what this next Snack Clash is about. Hey, Pete and Andy, love what you guys do, and I'm emailing basically to agree with Andy. Milk is the king of the drinks. Nothing beats it overall. I can drink milk with mostly any meal, and I always enjoy it. The one thing that my girlfriend always calls me weird for is drinking my milk with pizza. I can't help it, but I just think it's a great combination. Also, if Andy could keep the things that go well with milk volumes going on Twitter, I'd very much appreciate it. Thanks again, guys, for everything. You really helped me get through long overnight shifts. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Raphael, for that email.
Yes. No.
So, milk and pizza, dude.
I've definitely had that. I had milk and cookies this morning because I...
Milk and cookies is a well-known combination.
No, I know. I peeled back the curtain this morning. I woke up with a bit of a headache because I slept so badly. But I didn't want to just take painkillers on an empty stomach, because that's not good for you, everyone.
That's
so
true.
I ate about 10 cookies with some milk to line my stomach. And then I had them, and then I napped for an hour just to get rid of my headache. And that's... We're here now.
You did. You messaged me this morning just being like, hey, man, I'm going to help you write the news, but I'm going to nap first for like 45 minutes. I just need to get rid of this headache before I start.
It was unpleasant. Milk and pizza. Absolutely. What did I have last night? I had super noodles with milk.
As in like you cooked the super noodles milk or
soup. So I had super noodles. In normal super noodles. Basically, every Friday, I realized that I have nothing in my fridge or my cupboard. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having super noodles and Swedish meatballs. By the way, recommend. And a glass of milk on the side. Delicious.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we've probably overrun for this episode of the Rest Talk podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure to tune in for more content coming soon. If you haven't checked out the Rest Talk podcast from the Friday episode, Luke had special guest Xenia on talking about that was Asuka's WWE Raw Women's Championship run a bit pointless. Yeah, really is the answer. But anyway, go check that one out. And we've got loads more content coming soon as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.